But we begin today with petrol and the news over the weekend. The series of drone attacks on a Saudi Arabian oil facility, apparently carried out by Yemeni rebels, which could have a big effect on the world's oil production and the amount that we pay at the petrol pump. The Abu Kaiq oil processing facility, located about 330 kilometres northeast of the Saudi capital Riyadh, it's the largest oil processing facility in the world. And huge fires broke out after the drone attacks, the latest and most successful in a series of guerrilla attacks on Saudi Arabia's oil infrastructure. The Wall Street Journal is reporting the attacks effectively reduced global supply of oil by about 5%, and this is expected to cause a big spike in the international cost. Some outlets expect the price per barrel to jump by 35 to 40%. I can tell you, just a couple of minutes ago, I had a look on the screens. A barrel of Brent crude oil, which is sort of the international benchmark for oil prices, up 10%, $66 a barrel. And that naturally, of course, whatever increase or whatever the size of the increase will flow through to pump prices. Z Energy expects the price to jump by about 5 to 10 cents in a couple of days. We'll speak to energy analyst Ian Toomey in a short while. But first off, Simon, what astounded me was the speed with which, no doubt driven by media inquiries, that oil companies were willing to say, oh yes, it's going to cost you a bit more, even without knowing how much effect there was on the world supply.
I know, it was extraordinary, wasn't it? One of the TV networks last night led with the advice, fill up your car right now. I was appalled at that, actually. I think better advice might be, here's an opportunity for as many of us as reasonably can to try the alternatives. Maybe the train or the bus this is the time to give it a go. If petrol's going to spike in its prices, let's leave it alone. Let's go another way. Yeah. And that, of course, puts pressure on the civic authorities to increase the quality and frequency of public transport and put in more bike lanes too.
Carlo, it didn't prompt you to rush out and fill your car?
No, it made me really grateful that my car is electric hybrid. And similarly, I think disinvesting in fossil fuels at this time of the world is probably a good thing.
There's one in every crowd that just shows the rest of us up. and you're it today.
I just feel really sorry for people who can't afford to buy electric or hybrid vehicles, you know, like that. The people that are least able to afford them are the ones that can't afford to pay for the petrol. It's just, yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, which is a reason why the government's discount program is going to be important, but also probably why it needs to be bigger and more comprehensive and have greater incentives than it has at present.
It may not move as quickly as we need to avert the latest crisis, but we'll wait and see on that one. Let's talk to Ian Toomey. He's part of Hale and Toomey Energy Consultancy. Ian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Charles.
Right. First of all, is there any evidence at all that the current crisis in the Saudi production facility has, by some chance, morphed into higher prices in New Zealand?
Hopefully not yet, as you were saying. But look, they do come through pretty quickly. As you say, it's not as bad as many people were indicating in terms of the market opening, and it did open up a bit higher, drifted lower, $66 a barrel, as you said, up 10%. Prices were higher than that in May of this year, so it's not exactly something we haven't seen before recently.
Why should something happening in Saudi Arabia now flow through to local petrol prices within a matter of days, given that, first of all, there are stocks around the country, there are tankers full of crude oil bought at old prices on their way to New Zealand. And actually, if you hunt around Southeast Asia and Singapore and South Korea in particular, you're bound to be able to find still reasonably priced petrol.
Big question. Look, the markets are linked. So the crude price, crude is an international market. So something happening in Saudi, obviously one of the suppliers of a significant portion of the world's oil. Something happens there, markets respond, which means that when we're looking at 66, we're looking at the Singapore market. That's where, our oil is purchased from, certainly our product. So if the crude oil goes up, then the refineries have to buy that. They make the products. But what you'll see in Singapore today is those product prices would have already responded today by about the same amount you would expect, so that, you know, effectively up $6 a barrel. That's what the companies are buying off. So, for instance, if a company was buying a cargo loading today, it normally prices over, let's say, 4 or 5 days of quotes. The quote today is going to be higher, and they're going to face that cost. Your second question is, well, they're sitting on lots of inventory. That hasn't gone up in cost. What effectively all companies, all oil companies, and they have for probably a couple of decades in New Zealand and pretty much most places around the world, work on replacement cost economics, which means if I sell a litre today, I'm buying a litre today, so I'm going to price my sales pretty much on the current market, and they do all their management economics on that replacement cost basis. You'll see it in, for instance, companies that need to publish their results. Zed will show you their replacement cost economics as well as historic cost. That's just how they've developed their working. It seems a bit unfair, but otherwise, you know, you might wait 6 weeks. But I guess the bottom line is, as long as they go down as quickly as they go up, it's not really unfair to the consumer.
Do you expect that to happen, Ian?
Well, obviously there's a Commerce Commission inquiry that found a number of things about the New Zealand market that you could ask questions about. But generally, the going up and coming down, whenever that's been investigated, it's generally found that the companies are fair. They do go up fairly quickly, but they come down fairly quickly as well.
Interestingly, that Commerce Commission inquiry that you're mentioning, the submissions that were made by the oil companies to that inquiry have been released today, and Zed in particular has taken issue with them, saying that the Commerce Commission's got its sums all wrong in terms of the profit level that it makes in any particular time. Of course, we'll have to wait until November to see the final report and any subsequent government decisions afterwards.
It is interesting, Giles.
Yeah, no, interesting on that. But I guess, you know, for the companies to be effectively accused of profiteering, there wasn't much doubt that they'd come out saying anything other than, no, of course we haven't.
You'd think they'd be looking for an opportunity right now to demonstrate that they weren't quick to profiteer. So maybe the prices aren't going to spike quite so much.
You're not suggesting some form of commercial altruism here from an oil company, are you?
It's in light of self-interest, isn't it? Isn't that the way we look at it?
You'd like to think so, but yes, I noticed Wellington prices even before this going up to 235.9 over the weekend, which...
Well, in fact, one of my colleagues, who is a well-known national radio presenter, came round this morning fuming, and that's all I can say, and they weren't hydrocarbon fumes. $2.52 this person paid a litre. I assume it was super at a Central City petrol station yesterday. And she queried me saying, they haven't jumped the gun already, have they?
It sounds a bit like it.
But, I thought she was reaching for the gun.
Yeah, I think perhaps the first comment is, of course, the best. It's difficult for people, but yes, not buying is of course, you know, trying to be as efficient as you can in your use is a good response.
Bring on the inquiry then, eh?
The inquiry's been, bring on the decisions, which is the more important one, isn't it? And that will actually take some... One would assume commercial and political courage on a coalition government to make some far-reaching changes, but no government ever would get thrown out of power by giving the oil companies a bit of a kicking, would they?
I think you've got it right there.
I think the silence is consent. Thank you very much, Ian Toomey from Hale & Toomey Energy Consultancy.